see you, my friend. You okay?
Yes.
Good, good. So glad you're able to be here tonight. You have a good day?
Go with that one. Sir? I'll just use this one for tonight. Yeah.
Check, check.
Yeah, we'll use this one. In this corner. Oh, one second, please. Yeah. The back of the pews, you know, that little line. Oh, I'm an odd bird. All right, ready when you are. Okay, good evening, everyone. And good to see everybody tonight. Hope everybody's been having a good week this week. Define good, right? And still alive and up and able to take nourishment. So that is that's a good week. And I wonder if anybody noticed anything different pointing the church tonight. Well, we appreciate that. We're definitely heading in a new direction, and it certainly looks like a different church, and they're not fully done yet. They got to come back tomorrow and the next day, and the steps out front here, they're going to, we need a little more white, so they're going to be white, help tie in a little bit, a little contrast with the gray, and then, of course, they're going to pressure wash the down there at the base of the steps, the concrete, the sidewalk. So we're going to be looking good here, fully looking good here soon. But I'm excited about that. Oh, they're also going to pressure wash the fence. So that's very exciting. And again, I hope everybody's been having a good week this week. And we're going to dive right into our prayer request updates and praises like we normally do on Wednesday night. And I did want to mention Bro Don Rich messaged me earlier today to give an update on the missionary family we've been praying for specifically, whose wife, Mike Mullins, his wife, Marta, with the thyroid cancer. She's going on April the 4th to have the thyroid and a tumor removed. And so remember her when you pray, Miss Marta. And a unique name, but nonetheless, we'll remember her in our prayers. Let's remember Gary and Kim. Is it, brother? All right. Praise the Lord. We'll take it. Him is home, and good to see Brother Eddie on a Wednesday night, and of course, it's always course, it's always good to see Miss Mary Ann, but have Eddie here on a Wednesday night, that is just that's excellent. That means our God is working. And so what a blessing that is. So let's remember the Sanveys, but let's also remember Brother Eddie Rich. I told him we'll continue to pray for him until he gets through with all of his skin cancer surgeries and all. So we'll remember him. Travis Puckett, that's the young man that got saved during Jubilee. I don't know, maybe some of you noticed he was here Sunday night downstairs, but then he disappeared. So he came up to me. He, of course, he ate and everything, and then he came up to me. He said, "Hey," he said, "what do you believe about the book of Revelation?" And we was right at start time, you know. And so I said, "Ooh," I said, "that's a tall order to answer right before church." I said, "We'll do some talking." And I turned around and looked, and he was gone. So, but anyway, let's remember him in our prayers. Charlie Wilson as well. I haven't got any word on him since last Saturday. Brother Don Nettles said last Saturday he wasn't eating and taking any kind of liquids, and so I just haven't heard anything. Been praying for him, so I'm assuming things got better. That's our prayer anyway. But we'll remember Brother Charlie in our prayers. Miss Helen Bennett, she goes on the 4th again to the doctor to talk about surgery. And then Miss Nancy McClendon and Brother Bobby. Miss Nancy had her other eye. Somebody's going to have to help me out. What is it when you have a little part cut out? Thank you, Miss Shauna. Yes, yes. So, 10 points for Miss Shauna. So, she had that done today, her other eye, so she's at home recovering from that. But let's also continue to remember her, their daughter Kelly, and son Tanner at the loss of Greg, their son-in-law. And I read a post today that Kelly actually put on Facebook, and you know, it just really, really touches your heart. She was, of course, it's posted for everybody to see, the world to see, so I'll say it. But she just said, you know, she can't get used to the fact that she'll never see him again down here. You know, I could not imagine, you know, losing your spouse like that. Some of you have stories of sending your spouse home to heaven. But for that moment when I was reading that, I was really, really groveling with her in her experience. Really touching. But let's remember that. Remember her in our prayers. She said he was her best friend, and she just don't see how she can get used to that fact. And I could see that, how the struggle of that. Let's remember, continue to remember Miss Amy as she recovers from her fall. She doing good?
She's doing well.
Good. Excellent, excellent. Also, Miss Marianne Sanvi, your sister Peggy.
She was in the hospital for 3 weeks, and just yesterday they got her into a long-term rehab.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Let's lift up Miss Marianne's extended family in our prayers. Also, Miss Cece Prestridge. I caught the tail end of a conversation with her and Christy yesterday on the phone, and she's taken, I believe, her cancer treatments for the melanoma she had, if I'm saying that right, if I got all this right. And it's just painful, you know, the treatments. I think it was actual treatment that was applied to the area. I don't know. I just know that I heard her say that it was kind of painful and all. So let's remember her, and then, of course, her mother down in Florida that has breast cancer. Brother Chuck as well, remember him. Remember our children's home and everyone there, all the house parents, the staff. I went by there the other day. I believe it was on Monday. Brother Snyder invited me over. Miss Lucille's 94th birthday party. And so that was a good time. And that was a real good time. It was good to be back over there. But we'll remember the home and everybody involved there. Brother Harold Dolph, let's remember him. Leonard and Dolores Palmer, James and Shirley Townsend, Johnny and Pat Eccles, Mary Kelly, and Connie Teague. Let's continue to remember her, just coming out of surgery last week. And I know that Christy spoke with some that had prepared meals for each night this week or a gift card. So we appreciate that, those who have done that, to make their life a little easier during this time. Let's see, Miss Dawn Daly, Rusty and Chris Watkins, Randy and Janet Bailey. I spoke with Janet at the birthday get-together on Monday. And, of course, her husband, Randy, with everything he'd been battling and facing, the surgeries, I believe it was, I can't remember what type of cancer, his back, his hearing is leaving him now. He's swollen. And so let's remember Brother Randy. Melissa Slagle, Donna Carla Rich, Claudia Darby, Barbara Anderson, Jenny Clanton, Gerald and Francis Carroll, all of our shut-ins. James Tolan Brown, our Marine, Peyton Cochran in the Navy, Kevin Brook, Champion Christian College. And it was so good having Kevin here the other Sunday. Is he gone back? Do y'all know? He's gone back. Back to Arkansas. All right. Anything else to mention before we pray? Okay. Well, all that would, join me in the altar, or just right where you're at. We'll have a time of prayer, and then Brother Jeff will bring a song for us. God, Brother Jeff. And we're going to be in the Gospel of John tonight. John 16, please. John chapter number 16 is where we're going to be. I want to mention one verse this evening. And that is the final verse of John 16. Verse number 33. John 16, verse number 33. And Father, I pray that in the next few moments, Lord, that you would use me for your honor and for your glory. And God, I pray that the lesson tonight would just be simplistic and easy to understand. Lord, your people have been, some have been working all week, some are tired and exhausted. And I pray, Lord, that the lesson will not be taxing upon their ears, but easy upon the heart. Bless your word tonight, and we'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Very familiar portion of Scripture, John 16, verse number 33, says, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." What a blessing tonight that Jesus has overcome everything there is to overcome. Just that truth alone should be able to liberate us in our daily lives, to know that He is our overcomer. I do want you to notice the flow of this chapter and where it's going, like chapter number 17, 18 and 19. Eventually it leads us to the cross where Jesus is crucified. But Jesus is having a moment with his disciples. Excuse me for a second. It's hard to speak with a peppermint in your mouth. Jesus is having a moment with his disciples, and he's actually getting ready to be betrayed by Judas in chapter number 17. And then, as you know, he continues on, and then he's tossed back and forth with Pilate and Herod and eventually going to the cross. But I think it's something, the choice of words that Jesus uses here. So the disciples have been walking with him and talking with him for 3.5 years. And he's getting ready again to be betrayed and eventually go to the cross, die, be buried, and ascend back into heaven. And so he's using particular words to leave with them. And he says, again, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world." It's almost like he gives this summarization of everything he's already said. That first phrase, "these things I have spoken unto you," what things? He's talking about everything that he has mentioned to his disciples. The truth that he shared, I believe also the miracles that he performed, the lessons that he gave, all of those things he spoke to them. Now he's getting ready to go on and be with the Father eventually. And he uses this verse as a, again, as a summarization to benefit them, to encourage their hearts when Jesus does leave them. And now it's just them. The boss has gone home. And now it's just them. And so he tells them that you're going to have trouble. There was trouble here when I was here. There's trouble. There's going to be trouble when I leave. But he wanted to encourage them to be of good cheer because he has overcome trouble, basically. Tonight, I want to share with you this thought, and it's actually three words: trouble, trust, and triumph. Trouble, trust, and triumph, or triumphant. And so that'll be the title tonight. And just wanting all of us to really glean this verse afresh and anew and just receive some encouragement tonight. That's my goal. The first word tonight, again, is trouble. Notice what he says in verse 33. He says, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation." Tribulation. The word tribulation here, it means pressure. It means affliction. Anguish. It means to be burdened. It means persecution. Does any of those words describe something you've been going through lately or recently? Again, the word tribulation means pressure. Anybody been under any pressure lately? Affliction. To be afflicted, to be in pain. Anybody been afflicted lately? In any pain physically? Anguish. To be burdened, persecution, or the word trouble. And so he says that there's going to be tribulation. There's going to be pressure in this world while you're in the world. There's going to be times of affliction. There's going to be times where there's just great anguish of the soul. You know how David speaks in the Old Testament, in the book of Psalms? He's always talking about his soul, and a lot of times he speaks to himself. And I don't know about you or not, but there's times where I speak to myself. You know, I actually think it's a good thing, especially when you got so much in your head and you got to get it out. You just kind of mutter the words, mutter what you're saying under your breath. There's times where I speak to myself, but I promise you I'm not going crazy. I'm past crazy. I'm past crazy, Brother David. And but nonetheless, there's those times where there's great anguish and just being burdened, persecution, and all the rest of it, tribulation. And so he's telling them that there's going to be all these things in life while you're in life, while you're in this world. You know, we've been having some problems down at the school with Lily, and I'm not going to share all of her bizwax tonight. But, you know, she's in middle school. What middle schooler doesn't have any kind of, you know, problems? And so I've been down, I think the past 3 weeks, I've been down there 3 times. You know, principal's office, there I sit, you know, trying to talk and figure out what's going on. But we reach a point where we get one thing solved, okay? And then I leave, I'm, thank God that's fixed. And so I can get concentrating on my other things. And then right before you know it, boom, another phone call. Back in the office, you know, and I thought at least would have a week or two before the next incident, you know. And then, so we talk about that, we come up with a plan, we figure it out, and then I'm relieved. It's fixed again. And then we go home, and then a day or two later, boom, another phone call. And, you know, you hope, I guess you hope, you pray that once you get one problem solved in your life, you're just hoping and praying it doesn't happen again because you've invested so much anguish and soul in it. But the truth of the matter is tonight, it's going to be that way till we get home to heaven. It's going to be looking at problems, figuring out problems, fixing problems. And then we'll go for a while where there won't be no problems. And right when you think all your problems are gone, boom, there's another bomb for you to deal with. And so that's what it's like in this old world. Jesus was going on to the next world, and he says, "Guys, I want to tell you something. You knew how it was when I was with you. It was trouble then. It's going to be trouble after I leave. Just remember, I have overcome trouble." Just remember, while you're here, during that great time of persecution, the time where you feel like your head is in a vice and is twisting and turning, just remember, in that very moment, everything that I've spoken unto you. Remember in that very moment that no matter how bad in pain you are or in trouble, I have overcome what you're going through. So tonight, he uses the word tribulation. "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In this world," or "in the world, you shall have tribulation." And of course, as we've been saying, it's a guarantee that as long as we're on planet Earth, there will be trouble. I'm just learning to enjoy the times in between trouble. You know, I told Principal Bo this afternoon, I said, sometimes I feel like that big old whale in the sea. He goes down and then he comes up for a little bit of air and then goes down. And, you know, that's how trouble is. You go through a set of circumstances and then it's over. And then you breathe a little bit. And then, bam, there's the next bend in the road. And then you breathe a little bit. Anyway, Jesus says, in this world, in the world, ye shall have tribulation. That's just part of this world that has the curse on it because of the fall. Now, we looked at the definition of the word tribulation and all those things. But also, I want you to notice something. Let's see. We're in John 16. Look, if you would, in verse number 21 for a moment. 21. Jesus likens his return as a woman in childbearing. Of course, this is in contrast with trouble and how often trouble comes. Verse number, what verse did I say? 16? Let's see, where am I? 16:21. Thank you, Miss Sharon. 16:21. Look at verse number 21. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now, therefore, have sorrow. But I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice. And your joy no man taketh from you. And so as he's leading up to this last verse, verse number 33, he talks about their trouble and how it comes in waves and like a woman in bearing a child and the contractions and all of that leading up to the day of delivery and how that the mother, when she delivers that babe, remembers the troubles no more. And so he adds that with, in the statement in verse 33, these things I have spoken unto you. He wants to encourage them that one day the trouble will be over. One day the trouble will be no more. Of course, we know that the world is going to get worse and worse. We've been fighting this pandemic now for over 2 years. They're talking about a fourth shot now or a second booster and all those things in politics. And I had the three P's earlier last year, the pandemic, politics, and protesting. That was the three big items that were going on. But you know what? It's going to get worse and worse. There may be times where, oh, looks like things are getting better around here. Food's on the shelf and, you know, the number of, people who have COVID is down. Oh, doing good. And then all of a sudden, boom, you hear there's another variant. And then there's, you know, the politics. And of course, we're praying for Ukraine and Russia and trying to get them, by the grace of God and the mercy of God, to back down. And so we're thinking about our trouble, and we're thinking about in comparison to this woman who's in travail. Again, look at verse number 21. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for the joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. I remember just like it was yesterday being in that hospital room. September 23rd, 07, it was on a Sunday. And took Christy down there about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. We had ate some Mexican food that night, and she woke up a couple times, and she says she was in pain. She says, I think I'm having the baby. I think I'm having the baby. And so I run and look for the book, What to Expect While Expecting, you know, to find out what to do. And so I get the book. I find the page. Oh, yeah, call the doctor. And so, of course, I didn't have no doctor's number, so we went on in, and she was halfway there of giving birth. You've heard the story before, but the night faded away, and the morning came, and it was light outside, and we were in the room, and she was just having contraction after contraction. I remember looking at that little monitor on the stand next to her bed, and she's resting like this, and all of a sudden, every time that little digital line, it climbed and climbed and climbed, she'd tense up, and then it'd go down. Man, this thing went on forever, and she ran out of morphine. They put the epidural on her back, so she was laying on her own line the whole time, just, you know, freaking me out the whole time, really, getting tangled up in her hair, and she ran out of morphine, and she said, Justin, I'm in so much pain, you got to do something. And so I get angry, you know. I don't have to get angry. Why in the world am I getting angry? So I get angry. I'm like, why in the world do they let her dry up without any, you know, any medicine? So I go and I find the lady, and she comes, and she gives her more medicine, and she's fine. But every time that line would go up, she'd grip that post, and then it would go down, and she'd relieve herself. Contractions. The same way in this world is the coming of the Lord when he comes for the church. These world events, I believe tonight that Russia, this is indeed one big contraction to the coming of the Lord Jesus. I don't know all the ins and outs of that. Brother Jack was here Sunday night, our prophecy man, and so I just wanted to confirm that, you know, that if he thinks that this is, you know, in line with the Bible and all, he said, oh yeah, it's definitely in line with the Bible. In fact, Brother Jack said he thinks that Russia is going to eventually work their way to Israel. And we know that things will change when that happens. But it's a contraction, the pandemic contraction, all the protesting and violence in the streets, contractions, all of the gay and lesbianism, and all of it being projected on our television set so freely, and the devil trying to work it into our living rooms where our children are, you see. And see, all those things are contractions. And it's just a painful contraction after another. We're getting so, so very close to the Lord's return. Could be tonight. And so the Lord says in verse 33 again, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. And so the first word tonight is trouble. Trouble. He wanted his disciples to know that trouble will always be here. Sometimes it's intermediate. Sometimes it lasts forever, it seems like. But they will always have to deal with trouble. But when they do, deal with trouble to remember the Lord. The second word is trust. Trust. Again, the title tonight is trouble, trust, and triumph. He says in verse 33, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. You might have peace. So I wrote down the word trust here, and I'll tell you why. again, it goes back to those first two words that start the verse off. These things, what things? These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. And so again, he's reflecting back on everything he's taught his disciples. And when they embrace that and by faith digest that, then they are being in him and they're able to overcome. Jesus spent his ministry speaking his words to the disciples and the community that surrounded him. Some of his words that he spoke, they were comforting words. He loved them, had a purpose for them. And so he had comforting words for his disciples. Also, he had guiding words that he shared with his disciples while he was here. Same chapter 16, but verse number 13, says, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth." Again, he's talking about his leaving and the Holy Spirit being here as comforter. "He will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." And so he spoke guiding words to them. He was preparing them for his leaving, talking about the Holy Spirit guiding them. And then he had explaining words. He talked about the past, Old Testament stuff. He talked about the present, how it is now. But then he will talk about the future, things to come. And so he had explaining words to his disciples. But he also had challenging words. Again, we're talking about "these things I have spoken unto you." He had challenging words. You don't have to turn there, but in Luke 9, 23, one of the most famous verses, I guess I could say out there, "Take up your cross and follow me," in essence and in short, that's what he said. Challenging words. He says, "Guys, you're going to be in a place of trouble until I come back and get you. The world is just a big place of tribulation." He says, "But I want you during those times to take up your cross and follow me, no matter how heavy it is, no matter what it may look like, no matter what the situation may be." He says, "You have to take up your cross." And so he talked about where he had challenging words. And then he had convicting words. "These things I have spoken unto you." Convicting words. He talked about much during his 3.5 years, maintaining a right attitude. He talked about loving your neighbor. He talked much about your neighbor and love, and again, maintaining that right attitude and mindset. But these were convicting words to them. But then he had promising words. The Comforter would come. And again, verse 13 speaks of that in a couple other places. And so what was he doing? It was the teacher instilling knowledge into the students, because there was going to come the day for the test. And that is when Jesus would be betrayed, and when Jesus would be beaten and scourged and put upon the cross, died, buried, rose again, ascended back to the Father. And so they needed, he reminded them, "These things I have spoken to you." He was calling special emphasis to his whole ministry. He said, "I want you to reflect back on those lessons I've taught you. And you'll be just fine in this world, because in me you might have peace." And tonight, truly, in Jesus we have peace. We just do. We do because we're saved. Those that belong to Jesus are saved. Positionally, we're going to heaven. But on a practical basis, I know I say that a lot, on a practical basis, we have peace in Jesus. How is that? Well, the Bible tells us to cast all of our care on him, for he cares for us. Philippians tells us to be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, to let our requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall guard our hearts and minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's only accomplished in him. And so when we reflect back on his teachings, living in a troubled world, we can have peace. We won't find peace at the bottom of a pill bottle, the bottom of a liquor bottle. Anything, any kind of stimulant, there is no lasting peace. It always wears off. You won't find the peace you need that endures while on this earth through money. The money's gone. The money leaves. So money isn't a good way of achieving peace. Jesus is the way. He says, "These things I have spoken unto you." Everything in my 3.5 year ministry, I've spoken unto you. And I spoke those things to you so that you might know in me you shall have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. All right, so there's the word trust. And it all goes back to just taking God's word and hanging your hat on it. When nothing makes sense, nothing's adding up, the devil's on your back, he says you'll never make it. You may have even given up on yourself, but if you open God's word and hang your hat on it, that'll get you through. Y'all know that. Y'all could testify that tonight. One more thing, we'll be done tonight. There's the word trouble. There's the word trust. We're trusting the things that he's spoken unto us. And then lastly, there's the word triumph or triumphant. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, and here it is, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Look at the word overcome here. Overcome. I have overcome the world. That word overcome, it means to carry off to victory. Overcome means to subdue. It means, and I like this one, victorious over all foes. So he says, I have overcome the world. I am victorious over the world. I am victorious over death, hell, and the grave. excuse me. He's telling us tonight that the thing that is troubling me, the thing that's troubling you, he's already overcome it. And so how does that play out, though? Well, it plays out in surrender. By acknowledging that he has overcome it, and while it's overcoming us, we yield to that reality that he has overcome it. He has overcame what's overcoming us. We yield to that reality, and then we experience victory. And so he is the triumphant warrior tonight, if I could say it that way. He's the one who has overcome all of our foes. He's overcome the world. He's overcome the devil. Jesus is victorious over death, hell, and the grave. He's victorious over racism. He's victorious over politics, disease, hatred, pride. He's victorious over all of those things tonight. And so if we struggle with one of those things, we too can be victorious over that because he's overcome that. That's really a mouthful to think that there's nothing that we might struggle with that he hasn't already overcome. Just simple truth tonight, simple truth. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. The Bible tells us, greater is he that's within you than he that's in the world. The Bible tells us, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I like this one, beloved, now are ye the sons of God. Not when you get to heaven, but now. To those that are saved, in essence, he talks about he gave them power to become the sons of God. And so we've got power tonight. We've got ability. We've got his word. So I think that we can make it through this troubled world until we get to heaven. Father, tonight I love you. I thank you. I thank you, Lord, for the Wednesday night crowd, God, who comes out faithfully each and every Wednesday night. They could just easily stay home and in the comforts of the home, but, Lord, they see value in coming. They see, Lord, that there's value in coming on Wednesday nights. God, they want to be faithful to you. I pray, Lord, that something was said that may be a help to them. Lord, more than anything, when we begin our day tomorrow, that we would trust in you. And whether, Lord, we're going through a troubled time now or we're in that intermediate time when we're able to breathe a little bit, Lord, we're not going to fear that something's around the corner. We're just going to be ready for it from what we've learned out of the last troubling time. Be with your people tonight. Keep everyone safe. Bring us back safely. On Sunday morning, dear Lord, help us to tell someone about Jesus between now and then, and bring them to church, if all possible, on Sunday. We love you, we thank you, and we praise you tonight. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Anything from the class tonight? Y'all are such good listeners, as always. All right. Well, nothing else then. We'll be dismissed. And everyone have a great night.